All right, next, what he does is moves to this section he calls God's responsibility and ours. He says the relation of divine sovereignty to human responsibility is one of the great mysteries of the Christian faith. And it's plain from scripture that any case that both are real and that both are important is indeed true, right? They're both real and they're both important. Although God is sovereign, human obedience is of the utmost importance. God will fill and subdue the earth, Genesis 1:28 tells us, but only through human effort, right? Verses 29 and 30. He will gather his elect from all the nations into his church. That's what God will do, but only through faithful human preaching, right? So notice we have both and here with regard to God's sovereignty and human obedience. Mm-hmm. He works through human obedience, right? So it's important for us, he tells us, to maintain this particular balance between the divine sovereignty and human obedience, even in apologetics.
Right. Genesis 50, what you intended for evil and carried out and did, God intended for good and did and allowed you to do and allowed me not to be killed. This is Joseph talking. And so this both and is seen throughout scripture, especially in even in Genesis. All right. So we just believe the Bible, sola scriptura. That's all we have. That's all there is. Can we just make the case from the Bible and there's no need to defend it? Well, the Bible needs no defense, can also be used somewhat differently as a way of invoking the Protestant principle of sola scriptura. The sufficiency of scripture is there. Sola scriptura does not require the exclusion of all extra biblical data, even from theology. It simply requires that in theology and in all other disciplines, the highest authority, the supreme standard, must be scripture and scripture alone. You know, we can point to the divines, as they're called, of the Westminster Confession, and we can look to the confessions, but even the confessions rightfully say, if we've erred, go back to the scripture. The Reformation was ad fontes, going back to the sources, seeing what Luther read as giving alms is actually not the case. And so it's a complete reliant not on yourself, but on God for salvation. All these things, we go back to foundation in the church for things in sola scriptura. But it's not to say we can't look at the bone in the dirt and go, oh, the flood happened. Well, I thought you were sola scriptura. Well, it's not solo scriptura, it's sola scriptura, in that it is the basis, the supreme standard, the highest authority we have is scriptura.
Right. And so he asked us, what about using extra biblical, historical, or scientific data to confirm biblical teaching? He says, surely some might say to do that implies that we have more confidence in this data, right, because we're confirming scripture with it, than we do in the Bible, that we consider this data to have more credibility, one might say, right? Well, his reply is no, that's negative, right? He says, I have far more confidence in the truth of the biblical history than I have in the reliability of, for example, Josephus, right? He thinks occasionally Josephus will confirm biblical statements, and so he thinks it's perfectly legitimate to mention that fact in the apologetic discussion, right? So you don't throw out extra biblical and historical data, but you use it in an apologetic discussion appropriately, right? We may use, he says, extra biblical data in apologetics, but not as an independent criteria to which to judge scripture, right? Or that scripture must measure up to. No. We can use it, but scripture is our final authority, right? Because it comes from God.
Right. Or why would we go to church? Why don't we just take the Bible and read it and we'd be good? Why do we pray? Why do we meet with other believers? Why do we read commentaries? Why do we read Christian living books or parenting books? Why do we get information from other believers on history, on things the Bible doesn't speak about? But the question is, you take that book of what you're reading and you place it on the foundation of scripture, and from the lens of scripture is how you read that book. And so if there are things that say items contrary to what scripture is, you need to be able to explain it away or answer it in such a way that makes sense with aligning with God's word. Because again, we're not overviewing the book and saying, from this book, what do I see in scripture that's true? And only that is what I can take away. No, we're reading up through the lens of scripture. All right, sola scriptura and natural revelation. Well, we just all have nature. We look out in the world and we see it, and that should be good enough, especially for the other person. And so we'll give them nature, and we can all exist there because that's our home, is nature. Well, to relate scripture to its context is to relate it to a natural revelation, though. The natural revelation is the revelation of God in everything that he has made. And that's Romans 1 is a perfect and clear presentation of this, but also Psalm 19 and 104. It includes human beings who are made in his image, as seen in Genesis 1:27 and James 3. But every human being is surrounded by God's revelation, even within himself. I am made in the image of God. Who is? Everybody. Everyone is made in his image. And so even the person who hates God the most, if you've got that picture in your mind of who that is, even that person is made in the image of God. And so witnesses to his own self when he brushes his teeth. This includes, of course, the unbeliever.
Right. And so, you know, the issue here then is, well, what about natural revelation? Right. I mean, that's what the one version of evidentialists appeal to, right? They go to the natural revelation to get us to God, right? And so he's trying to work through that particular issue. And he says, natural revelation reveals the eternal power and nature of God. It also reveals his moral standards, his wrath against sin, you know, but it does not reveal, and here's the issue, God's plan of salvation, which comes specifically through the preaching of Christ. Yeah. We have that preaching of Christ in definitive form in the scriptures, and on the authority of scripture, we continue to preach the gospel to the world. So yes, natural revelation reveals God, but it's limited in terms of how it allows for salvation is the point he's trying to make.
Right. Yeah, and a reading of Romans 1 really hones this next point is, why do we need two forms of revelation? Well, for one thing, direct divine speech shortens the learning curve. If God can say, I made this all, who are you to say, oh man, were you there in the beginning? go and preach to the Ninevites. How dare you go against the true and living God? Well, hopefully the learning curve shortens, but sometimes you need to go into a big fish in order to learn your lesson.
Yeah. So notice that. So it's almost like cheating on a test, right? God can give you the answer. Sometimes you don't know the answers. And so instead of trying to come up with them yourselves or experience them and that sort of thing, God just gives them to us, right? And that's what revelation, that's what the scriptures are all about. Right. It shortens that learning curve. It tells us what we need to know, you know, without having us going through all the processes that will maybe get us there and maybe not.
Right. So even unfallen Adam needed to hear God's direct speech that supplemented and interpreted God's revelation in nature. So even Adam, right, before the fall, needed direct revelation. He just didn't see the tree and go, cheat. Oh, I need to stay away from there because it looks good. Yeah. Well, no, God actually needed to say, stay away. But after the fall, at least two other reasons for special divine speech entered the picture. One was man's need of a saving promise, a promise that could never be deduced from natural revelation alone. And I think this is a big critique of kind of traditional apologetics is, okay, you can get to somebody to a deity, you can get them to the resurrection, but resurrection of Jesus, fine, but now he'll save me and resurrect me. Well, how do you know that without appealing to the Bible? Now, you know, there are people who are going to say, you know, if I've got them that far, then opening up God's word is good enough. But at the same time, how do we know that Jesus is the one to save us? And so am I sneaking in the Bible when I've not really had to use it up until this point as the foundation for my belief. Well, when it comes to all works of faith and practice, like the Catholics, this is where the Bible is useful for us. Probably not. All right. So that's the first reason. The other reason was to correct our sinful misinterpretations of natural revelation. In Romans 1, 21 and 32, it shows what people do with natural revelation when left with no other word of God. They repress it. They disobey it. They exchange it for a lie. They disvalue it and honor those who rebel against it. So much so that God says, all right, you want to live that way? Fine. Here you go. And then people curse him when they say, oh, how could you allow such evil? Because you wanted it. You wanted this to be the way.
Gives you what you want. Yeah. And so he tells us that. Yeah. So God thus has given us scripture or special revelation, both to two things, right? Supplement natural revelation by adding to it, you know, the message of salvation. And secondly, to correct our misuses of natural revelation. So granted this approach, there need be no competition then, he says, and this is the point he's trying to make, between presuppositions and evidences. Our scripture nothing more than the application of scripture to our situation. Use of evidence is not contrary to sola scriptura, but a fulfillment of that principle. And so that's what he wants us to see.
Right. So scripture authorizes us to use evidence, and the use of evidence is nothing more than the application of the scripture. So that's the foundational basis for looking up through God's word from the foundation basis and not down at God's word and trying to pick out, all right, where do these things coincide or come into agreement with, or what will the other side allow me to view as evidence? So